Welcome, everyone. Jeez, I can't believe it. We're finally back. It's the season 3 of the Office podcast with Lelo, Leighton, and Gia. And I have my favorite person, Leighton.
Hello. Hi, Gia. It's so good to be back. You don't understand how excited I am.
Tell me about it.
So excited.
Tell me about it.
It literally feels like such a long time. Well, it has been quite a bit, but we've all been going through like great and weird and wonderful changes. And this pandemic has been a lot. So it's good to be officially back for season 3 of the Office podcast. I cannot wait.
Tell me about it. I actually take my hat off to everyone who created content, who recorded podcasts, who made magic during this time, because it's not easy to be in a creative space while you are gauching. For some of us were gauching, guys, over the last year, like we were seeing flames. So, you know, that's some of the reasons why we haven't been recording. But there's also been some transitions in people's lives, changes happening. So yeah, man, but we're back with a bang. And I think it's going to be fun. We'll tell you guys a little bit later about what you guys can expect on season 3 of the Office podcast. There's actually a third voice you guys are missing, and that's Lelo's voice. Lelo's just won't be on a few of our episodes as we start, but the good girl will be back very soon. She will be back. She's just taking some time off, getting some rest. You know that she's been quite busy with the travel podcast as well, and she's got a lot of work on her plate. So yeah, as soon as Lelo comes back, you will hear her. But yeah, we miss you, Lelo, just so you know.
We miss you so much, Lelo. We miss you so much. But girl's been busy, and she's actually been part of those people that were continuing to create content throughout this whole pandemic. So yeah, big up to her.
Amazing content even on social media. So she's done quite a lot for that industry, that's for sure. So yeah, man, I think let's get right into it, Lai. Let's hit up the main topic for the day. So let's do it. Yay, guys. So yeah, season 3 of the Office podcast. Please feel free to join us or join the conversation rather online using the hashtag The Office Podcast. You can also follow us on our social media platforms on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Tag us, guys. Let us know what you've been doing and how the last year has been going. We actually just want to have a bit of a review of the last year. No set topic for the day. We just want to know. I want to know, Lai, how has the last year been for you, actually?
Oh, the last year. It's been, to be honest, I feel like we've had 3 years in 1 year. It's just been so crazy. And I think like it has been very, very different for a lot of people, but the same also. I think we're all struggled and we're finding ways to come into ourselves. I know personally, I feel like from a personal point of view, I started off the pandemic. Remember our episodes during the pandemic, and I was telling you like, I am eating well, I am doing this, I am doing that. I am, you know, like my spirits were high. And I think 6 months into the pandemic, I just like fell off. I started ordering in almost every day, which I realized I'm like thankful that I could actually afford that, because, you know, not all of us were in a great financial space last year. And then I just fell off the bandwagon. So personally, I just like gained a lot of weight, but then, you know, and it's good. We went through a pandemic. It's allowed. Don't be hard on yourself.
I agree. Yeah. No, same. And, I agree. Totally.
Yeah, exactly. And, just like professionally, I think it has been trying to sort of like pivot my career into where do I want to go through next, and finding new ways of actually upskilling myself and making myself better at what I do, and opening up like my mind to new possibilities and adventures out there. So that's pretty much how my year has been. And it's just been, you know, like up and down, but just good to celebrate like the ups as much as we accept the downs. And yeah, it's been good. And you?
I think that last statement that you made is very important, in that, you know, we need to take both sides equally. So I had to, in the last year, learn to take the lows the same way I used to take the highs. I definitely from a, I, you know, I didn't, I wasn't exercising much as much as I thought I would. I was actually more tired than I normally would be before a pandemic. Because before the pandemic, you know, you'd go to work during the week and then you'd have time and energy to go out with your friends on the weekend.
Yes.
But now, like over the last year, it's just like you're constantly on this hamster wheel working, sometimes working until 1 a.m. And because it's just higher pressures, it's higher demands. I don't know what happened, but since lockdown, there's been a lot more demand from people in general. Like it's like the boundaries that were set before where people knew that this was time for work and this was time for my personal stuff was just vanished. And there was no longer that boundary anymore. And people were just having expectations and deadlines were just getting tighter and tighter. So, you know, by the end of the week, you just want to still stay home and just rest or watch Netflix or, you know, enjoy content. And you just don't want to go out or do anything. Which I think also, I mean, the lack of vitamin D also contributed quite a lot because we were staying in a lot. And if you don't have a backyard, it also contributes to those sort of things. I also contracted COVID at some stage. So that was an enlightening experience. I know it sounds weird, but it was actually an enlightening experience because it actually allowed me to just slow down and take 2 weeks off and just heal, slow down, albeit in isolation. But that isolation actually, I feel like I needed just so that my mind could also be a little bit free and do the things that I actually want to do from a spiritual perspective and meditation and slowing down and breathing. So that was quite interesting. I had a lot of low moments as well from an anxiety perspective, from a mental health perspective. I had a lot of low moments this year. Well, let me say in the last year, I've had a gazillion low moments where I just probably even switch off and just like go off the radar entirely, you know? So I've had a lot of low moments. I don't want to lie, but equally I've also had, slowly started picking up on the app and the positive side of things. But your work from home can get a lot. It's not easy whether you're alone or living with people. It's not easy. So I think it's a hats off to South Africans and everyone around the world who's managed to keep things going to this very day. I mean, so many people have lost their lives as well. So many people have lost loved ones over the last year as well. So that's also just been like very, very sad. I don't want to say depressive because, you know, I don't want to misuse a term, but it's just been downhill. So yeah, man, I had to learn to be okay with not being okay. Essentially, this year was a year of being okay with not being okay and not having it all figured out and not having the answers to everything, because I've always wanted to have the answers. And this time I honestly just didn't have the answers. So it was quite a reflective period for me, definitely.
You know, like there's a few things that you touched on that I really think a lot of people battled with. And I think a lot of people battled with mental health and just like the state of your mind and just like the healthiness of your mind being, you know, affected by certain things, like be it like, you know, if you're losing a job and finances and like that not going well throughout the pandemic. And it's also like losing people and close ones and not being able to actually see them off. And, you know, it's just like, and also not being able to be physically there for your loved ones. Like, you know, like when you're ill and isolating, I can't imagine how horrible it must have been for your family to not even like, you know, hug you and like be around you. So there's like a lot of things that I feel like were so hard on our mental health this year and this last 2 years actually, and then just and also continue to be. And and I think we just need to find ways of sort of being okay and acknowledging the things and trying to deal with them as best as we can.
True. I mean, as is, I'm actually just so concerned with the numbers that are coming out from SADAG as well in terms of people's mental health. Apparently, well, according to an article in the Daily Maverick, since the lockdown, or since the start of the lockdown in March 2020, Lifeline South Africa recorded 4,000 calls a day due to people's heightened anxiety, anxiousness, you know, just a lot has been going on in people's lives. And I think even people who didn't necessarily lose jobs, but had to support people who did lose jobs in their families, it was horrendous. It was horrendous, guys. Like, I'm shook that I actually survived all of this. I don't know. I'm shooketh that I actually survived, you know? So, I mean, there's so many things. Suicide is also on a high. I mean, I recently heard of someone at one of the, you know, big companies who also committed suicide. It's so unfortunate that people feel like they don't have a way out. And this is their only way out. So, yo, Aisham, guys, Aisham, this year was a lot.
Yeah, that is sad. Like the suicide part, I remember I saw an article. I can't remember where I saw it from, but there was the stats, the world stats were released for suicide. And South Africa is number two after Russia with the largest number of suicides per year. And it's predominantly men. And it's so sad. And it's really, really sad. And I think, you know, like, particularly from an African context, we've got that thing that, you know, like, men are strong, men don't cry, men don't talk about their feelings. But guys, please talk about your feelings.
Please talk, guys. Talk
about your feelings.
Yeah, please do, guys. And I think what we'll also do is just make sure that on our social media pages, we share some of the links and numbers and contact details of the organizations that you can reach out to. In the event that you can't. And a lot of companies and corporates actually have a system or a service called ICAS, where you actually have access to therapy and having access to someone to talk to 24 hours a day for yourself and your family members. So speak to your company HR, and then just find out about ICAS and access to ICAS, but they definitely do make those services available to a lot of, or actually all their employees. Also, if you are part of a specific medical aid, I mean, I don't want to punt Brian's here or anything, but there's specific medical aid as well that offers companies and their employees like 5 free therapy sessions, for example. I guess it might depend on which band you're on in terms of medical aid cover, but I think everyone should just speak to their HR about what sources of support they are or that have been made available to them, because every company by now should actually have some sort of support, mental health support for their employees. If they don't, well, they need to get it together, but it definitely is a must, and we encourage every single company to at least provide some sort of mental health support. Yeah, man. But yeah, it's been an interesting one.
I completely agree with like the fact that companies should actually put something in place to actually support people's mental health, as particularly this last 2 years, and was it 18 months or 2 years, have actually highlighted that importance of mental health support from companies and so forth. And what I've seen, I don't know if you've seen this, if you've had it from your workplace, but a lot of companies, I think it was Nike, I gave like the employees a week of mental health. I think Spotify is doing it soon. We actually also got like a day off, you know,
but
at least there's something. So, which is quite good, you know, like it really does feel like encouraging to realize that your company thinks of you and they're giving you like that day to just like shut down and just do whatever you would like to do, or just be still and like rest. And that's so important. So I hope a lot more companies actually start doing it and, you know, and make it like part of the fabric of the company.
I agree. Kudos to them. It is much needed. But can I just say how expensive working from home is? Like, okay, like Gary, when I said mental health, can I just say how hard it is on the pocket as well? Oh my gosh. Like stuff in the house breaks a lot quicker because you're constantly using it. You're always using your kettle, you're using your kettle a little bit more than you did before. You're using if you consume sugar, I don't consume like actual sugar in my tea or anything. But if you were the type of person that has like 3 to 5 cups of coffee a day and you constantly have sugar in your coffee, how much more sugar are you actually spending on? Like groceries a month are insane. Yep. I can't deal. I don't know how you've experienced this.
It's so, I don't even know how to put it together, but let me tell you, I am one of those people that, I'll give you an example. I used to pay 328, and I know it's like down to the T, for my electricity every month. Ever since I've worked from home, I pay like not the 590 every single time. And in winter, of course, it's like generally higher. But I am so shocked. I was just like, why am I spending a lot of money? And like you said, it's like the electricity, it's the coffee. And I drink coffee in the mornings. And I was like, it's the coffee. And it's also like the other thing, I don't know if you have it, but like I get into a bad habit sometimes. It's like, you know, when you're taking like a bit of a 5-minute breather between meetings and you go on the gram and you see something for the house. And because you're at home, you feel like you're going to use something.
And so you buy it.
But you don't even use it. I was like, well, I bought like the 5th mirror that I have in this house, and I literally hung it outside. And I was just like, after that, I was just like, okay, that wasn't a smart purchase because I really don't need it.
I think what saves me is that I'm not crazy about shopping in general, to be quite honest. I'm not crazy about online shopping. The most I do from a shopping perspective, I think is Uber Eats and Mr. Delivery. Now that is the devil, that wears Prada for me. Like I can't let go. And I think I need to actually delete my Uber Eats and Mr. Delivery apps. I haven't used them in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's been the most. And I don't even want to check bank statements or what that looks like, because that's just horrendous. Because, dude, you're home the whole day, you're working, you get tired, now you must still cook, go back and cook. Sometimes you're just like, and even with lunch, it's like you don't always have the opportunity to take that full hour to make lunch, although exactly. That's how it actually should be. You should be able to take your full hour. It's not always possible. So you try and grab something or you order something while on a call. By the time your call ends, you know that your lunch will be there. So I think for me, my one thing was definitely Uber Eats, which threw me off financially. So I was just like, actually, I'm just cutting it out. A little bit more. So I've successfully done that over the last month. So I will continue and try my best to stop making those purchases, actually.
No. Uber Eats is a trap. And Mr. D, I actually had to delete the apps because I had not discipline. I would be disciplined for 3 days and then I'll be back on the bandwagon. And it took like a bad day at work for me to be. So if I had like a constantly bad day for like 3 weeks, that was reflecting of my Uber Eats bills. So I was like, you know what? This is not working out for me.
Yeah. Because I'll be honest, my advice is just like food. So if I'm like going through the most, I turn to food. Like I have a very bad relationship with food. So I definitely turn to food. That's why I was like, yo, Uber Eats is going to be a problem. Because when I'm feeling down, like you're saying, I've had a bad day, I'm like, a burger and chips would be nice. And then you go and then you feel guilty afterwards. So I was like, you know, I just stop it, girl. Just cook, make home food, delicious, healthy, stop. So exactly. I'm being very strict with myself now and also just trying to get that routine in. But from a work from home perspective, I know that a lot of people have been having these discussions and you can actually claim back, you know, work from home costs. You just have to be able to substantiate. And I'm referring to SARS here. And when you do tax returns, so you can actually claim your work from home costs, with SARS. There's obviously, ways in which you do it and you have to have supporting documentation. So I would suggest you guys look into this. And you know, try it out so that you can recover some of those costs. I don't think you'll recover everything, but at least you'll possibly be able to recover some of those costs. I have heard of people who've been, reimbursed or who've, received some cash from, you know, from SARS. having been working from submitting their tax returns and the proof and the documents as well. So try your luck out, guys. I'm not going to do it. I don't think I have the energy for all of that. Some companies actually give people work from home bonuses. Hey, like people get stipends every month for work from home. There's this company I heard of that actually gives stipends for work from home every single month in their salary. I was like, damn.
Wow, damn. But damn. I suppose that's only fair if you are not using the company's resources like on a daily basis, like you know, electricity, the internet, etc. So I think that definitely does make sense. And yeah, thanks for that tip, Gia. And I also think like one of the other things that has helped me sort of with the spending situation, particularly from like a food perspective, is that now I actually am very pedantic about like doing meal prep for like every 3 days and or every 2 days. So like in the evening I will like make my dinner and I'll make like a salad, just like or something like a snack or whatever that I can have for lunch, because like you said, the reason why we end up like ordering in is because once something convenient, we don't want to cook, you're so stressed, you're busy, and that's the last thing that you want to spend energy doing. And I figured out that, you know, like if I have something to just like snack on and like get, like I'll do that. So I actually invested in a juicer,
which is
so great, and and an air fryer, so like it's like really quick, so it doesn't take me like a lot of time to actually prep. So like I'm juicing. Also, like I'm juicing because I want to be like healthier, because I don't want to take a lot of fizzy and sugary drinks. So I'm like literally juicing like all my vegetables and fruits. And then I like air fry like a little bit of stuff that I would need. And nice. It's quite quick, which is quite nice. And then like my meal prep is done. And then I don't spend like a lot of money in like getting takeaways. And you also have like a bit of control on what kind of healthy options like you can eat, which is like really cool.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people's health also took a bit of a nosedive because of that. You work from home, you can't go out, you basically don't want to go out because you also have that anxiety and you're scared to even go out. But I think for the most part, I've been seeing a lot of people claim back their physical health as well, exercising, fitting their bodies. So well done to everyone. And all the fitness bunnies who've encouraged people to get back. I'm one of those people who's trying hard to go back into a routine of exercise first thing in the morning. So yeah, I think it's coming along well. I don't do it every day, but building that routine is really, really important. But I'd also like us to touch on a very almost semi-serious topic as well around work from home and the realities. And, you know, is it really a feasible thing permanently? I mean, just today, I was listening to radio and on one of the news bulletins, they were talking about how companies are actually losing out on a lot of collaborative work. Young people are feeling that they're losing out on a lot of learning and development in the workplace because they're working from home. Companies are not actually, some companies are apparently not actually getting the best out of their employees because there isn't that much collaboration as there was before. How are you experiencing this whole collaboration thing and work from home versus working in the office? How are you experiencing it? I mean, there's a lot of articles about it, but in your personal view, what are your thoughts and how are you experiencing this whole collaboration thing online?
So I will say that, you know, like part of that is, it is true. Like there's certain things that I don't like about working from home, like long term now versus like the stuff that I liked earlier on when we started. Yeah. And I think like the bigger part definitely is around collaboration. And particularly when you are working on like on creative ideas, I feel like there's so much that you can creatively share and like emphasize and share on Zoom than you can. You know, like literally so much. But like in person, I feel like people get it like a little bit more. And it's also like tangible and the presence of people. And also just like bouncing off things each other, I think gives birth to a lot of great ideas. Because what I say might inspire you or spark like an idea that yeah. we hadn't thought of. So those kind of things, I really do think they're getting affected, they're getting lost. And that's why, like, particularly in my workplace, they do encourage that you go into the office, because our offices are, like, you know, open, but you're not forced to come in. But if you're working on a collaborative idea, you're encouraged to actually utilize the space, of course, like, you know, adhering yeah. to all the COVID-19 rules and regulations. But, like, I feel like that does help quite a lot. And I also think for me, the other thing that's like has been a bit challenging has been not having not having boundaries.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's related to just working from home, because then people feel like they can call you at 6 p.m. to brief you on a job because, well, you are at home and where yeah. could you be? And, you know, and all of that. So, like, I feel like it's that has definitely not been a great thing long term, because then that breeds that whole thing of you're constantly tired, you're working overtime, etc., etc. And if you're at work, like, you get to work, like, they know that this is travel time to get to the office. You live for yeah. lunch if you're the person who lives for lunch, and you live to drive back home. And then when you get home, you're probably not going to work that evening. And there are other people that I know that I used to work with who are very, like, who lock their computers in their desks. So, like, they know that you're only going to see something tomorrow. So, you know, like, so I can't imagine what those people are going through, because now they're accessible to work all the time. So
yeah, it is a bit of a, yeah. like we're saying, those boundaries are no longer there. I honestly think that work from home permanently is overrated. I cannot do this permanently. I'm quite happy to have the 50-50 split or the, you know, 60-40 yeah. split. I do want to go back to the office. I do miss dressing up. I miss interacting, mm-hmm. getting coffees, going down to the coffee shop and just grabbing yes. 10-15 minutes to catch up with someone. Now it's just like people only talk to you when they want something from you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't even go out and grab a lunch with someone and catch up on what's happening, because all you ever really do when you link up is talk about work and yeah, I want this and I want that. And it's just like, I've actually started setting my own boundaries, because I've joined a new organization. So I've created my boundaries and I've blocked out certain times in my diary. Then people know not to actually block or set up anything in those times. So I've set in my diary, I've got recurring meeting in my diary for my lunch hour. I've got my gym time in my diary, so people shouldn't set up time for me in there. And if I have any like other personal engagements, I just put them in my diary so that people don't set time in there, and then just alert people that I'm offline. I'll be back in an hour or in 2 hours, mm-hmm. whatever the case is, because I'm just trying to set that boundary now so that people know that I'm not the one to be contacted at 8 in the evening unless it's a crisis. If not a crisis, then yeah. don't contact me, honey. Exactly. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to do it.
And honestly, we're not doctors. We're not saving lives.
No, please. We're not saving. And I don't think that email that I would have sent would have made a difference anyway. So yeah, I think it's just those boundaries. Yeah. And those boundaries really helps a lot. And I genuinely do feel bad for the new joiners and companies and young mm-hmm. people. I was reading an article in the Financial Times about how young people in Europe are actually feeling like job numbers. They don't feel like employees because of that yeah. thing where they feel like, you know, I don't matter. I'm just here. And, you know, the more senior employees aren't giving the guys, the younger guys time, aren't sitting with the guys and nurturing them like they would have mm-hmm. done at the office, because even their schedules are probably very busy and very hectic, and understandably so. But yeah, I think young people are losing out on valuable conversations happening on the floor. People say, oh no, it's micromanagement. I'm like, actually guys, outside of micromanagement, there's a lot more that, you know, you gain by being in the office.
Exactly.
Conversations, yeah. debates, you know, you're able to just turn exactly. and ask someone and, something, you know?
Yeah, and skills transfer. And I think that's a big thing that is not happening because of work from home. People are not learning from people who know stuff.
Exactly.
Because we're like, we are all like, you know, chasing our own deadlines. We're all working according to like our meeting schedule. And we don't have that time where, you know,
I can see my MD is like having a cigarette or having a coffee outside, then I can go to him and be like, oh, do you have like 2 minutes? I just want to run this idea. What do you think? You know, we're missing those those conversations, as you said, and debates. So definitely missing that. But for my end, I really do not want to go back to the office full time. I also, like, I would like to go back in some capacity. I think, like, two days a week would be great. Or, like, a day a week. And I also, like, I need human interaction now. I'm just over it. Like, I am a bit of a hermit, but this is even too much for me. So definitely need that human interaction. And also, like, for me, I think it's also good to get, like, a break, just have a different space. I think it inspires something that's different every time, and that's very important, particularly for people who work in the creative industry. I feel like that's why when we brainstorm, I actually like going to brainstorm at odd places, at places that you don't randomly
definitely.
I feel like it feeds you differently than being in the same environment, and I think that's where I'm getting to with like home. I'm just like, okay, cool, I know what I need to do. And, you know, it's just one of those things. It's just becoming monotonous every day.
Yeah. So I totally get you. So we'll actually put up a poll on our pages about whether you guys want to go back to the office full time or 50-50 or whatever split you guys think you have. So do check out our social media pages. Let us know what you would like for the future, if you guys would like to rather just stay home and work from home forever, or if you're quite happy to go back to the office full time, or you'd rather just have a bit of both. Because, you know, there's nothing wrong with a bit of both worlds. Some days you actually don't feel like going to the office, because I've actually even managed to like do my laundry, you know, just before a meeting, throw my laundry into the washing machine after a call, just put it out. It's drying the whole day. I don't have to wait for the weekend to do that. I can just relax on my weekend or do other things on my weekend because the laundry's done. So yeah, man, there are some apps. I definitely think what we thought in the beginning of lockdown is not what we feel now. So I'm pretty sure if we listened to like the episode that we did during, you know, the first bits of lockdown and this episode, it'd be like completely different episodes. So I think we've all learned a thing or two about working from home. And at least we've got the experience now, we know, and we can kind of guide what works best for us. I think that's what it is. And hopefully companies will be understanding enough to be open about allowing employees to choose how they want to go about it.
Definitely. Definitely. I think so. And I think that, you know, as we get into this journey, it's basically, I think it probably will be our new normal in one way or the other. And it's just, you know, taking from it what works and sort of like changing what is not working. I do think that for companies and for employees alike, it will definitely be like a trial and error situation until we get it to a point where it's actually working perfectly. But like you said, what I like about working from home, it's a bit of freedom to actually sort of live your life during the day in ways that you don't live your life during the day, like at work.
Yeah.
Like I can take a personal call for like 20 minutes and like connect with my family while I'm having a bit of a break. But I wouldn't necessarily do that at the office because also like you don't want to be talking about your business in front of people and all of that.
True.
And stuff like that. So I feel like that's definitely like a part of a good thing about working from home. But you guys, let us know what you think. And, you know, like if you want to work from home and whatever, you can tweet us and you can DM us your questions. And also if you have something that you want to share about your experience from working from home, you're welcome to do so. Our handle is @officepodcastessay on Instagram and Twitter. And we are The Office Podcast Essay on Facebook. So hit us up. Hello, guys. Welcome back to The Office Podcast. Thank you for joining us for our first episode of season 3. We are so excited to be back with you guys. And you know what time it is? It's tea time and I'm so excited.
Whoop, whoop. I'm so parched. Excited. I'm parched.
Are you parched?
I'm parched, darling.
I was thinking, I was like, what are we going to talk about in our first episode? And then I was just, you know, and then I thought, to myself, there's one thing that I've been wanting to talk about for longest time now. And it's Umjolo, guys, like the celebrity couples that have been popping up. And I'm just like, okay, we need to talk about Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck.
Yes. I was like, girl, you fast. Like, she was not wasting time. She's not waste time. Because was she not with someone else at that time? Was she not engaged or something?
She was engaged to Alex Rodriguez.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And girl just left like that.
I have to stand a queen. I think she's actually like one of Lilo's faves, actually. Because I remember Lilo posting about her when the paparazzi was
when she was dating Alex,
I was just like, girl does not waste time. So kudos to her. Kudos to her.
Kudos to her. But for me, I'm just like, but J-Lo, when do you take time to get to know yourself? But, you know, to be fair, though, J-Lo is in her 50s. And I feel like if I'm in my 50s or my 40s, like, I would not waste time for anything. Yeah. I'm like, I'm living life.
Life is short. You know?
Exactly. Anything has showed us that life is short is COVID.
Exactly. Like, I think she's just at a point where she's just like, you know what, let's just do it. If there's a repercussions thereafter, I'll deal with it. She's kind of like, do it and apologize later type of person. Yeah. And I'd actually admire that. As heartbreaking as some of the things can be in life, at the end of the day, everyone just needs to do what makes them happy at the end. And she seems to be happy because we assume she needs a break. We assume we all need breaks, but
Do we really
all need a break? Mm-hmm. Do we? I mean, we jump from job to job, right? We don't take breaks from job, but you move into another job and you operate like perfectly.
Exactly. So
why do we need breaks from relationships? Girl, nah. True.
Good job, girl. For me, I just literally feel like I've been thrown back to the early 2000s every time I see them. And also maybe it doesn't help that they're so overexposed. And I'm just like, oh my God, everything that, like, if I scroll through my Instagram, I'm like, okay, there's Ben and Jen. I'm just like, okay, cool.
There they are. Well, I say you go, girl. The rest of us could learn a thing or two from you. Cause yeah, girl, put you first, honey. Put you first. Because actually, men are able to jump in and out of relationships like nobody's business. So you do you, girl.
Exactly. Men will be in three relationships at once.
Yeah, she don't need a break. You do you, girl. I support you.
You do you, girl. So let us know what you think about Benefit 2.0. And then one of my favorites, couples now, Rihanna and A$AP Rocky. Listen, I like this too. I don't particularly care for A$AP Rocky's politics because I just feel like, you know, after he said those comments about Black Lives Matter and like how...
Please fill me in on that. What I've seen people talk about it, but I just don't have the 411. So thank God, Tea Time is back. What was actually said? Because people don't seem to like this couple, and don't like seeing them together.
Yeah. So like basically, there's I think it was in 2016, 2017. There was like a hot debate about the Ferguson city in the US.
Okay.
And there's something that had happened with the killing of Black people and whatever, and there was obviously like Black Lives Matter was like rising and then like going against that. And A$AP Rocky was asked like in an interview to comment around that. And he basically said that, well, those issues don't really affect him because he doesn't stay there. He stays in Soho. Imagine. I was just like, wow.
Excuse us, honey. Okay.
Like, how are you going to leave all the Black people like destitute like this in the streets? I feel like it was such reckless remarks, particularly for people who have like a platform to actually raise awareness and like drive engagement. And he's got a lot of like a really big white following.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, why is he being dodgy? And then just to, add insult to injury, when Bill Cosby was going through his own stuff, right? With the women sexual harassment. And he was like, he doesn't get it why people all of a sudden are like you know, like crucifying Bill Cosby because of one bad thing that he did. And it was just like, wow.
Is this, ASAP Rocky?
Yeah. Yeah.
What on earth?
Exactly. I was just like, dude, you know, like, and I think that, you know, that actually like made me think about how as people, and particularly as Black people, sometimes we feel like we need to protect people and not call out someone because they've done good things, so that one bad thing that shouldn't count because they've done like this amazing thing. And it doesn't work like that. And I feel like that's why a lot of people get away with a lot of things, because people feel like, well, this person is uplifting the Black community. So if they're actually raping kids on the side, that shouldn't matter. They are like, you know, uplifting the community. And I think that's so screwed up. Like, it's really screwed up. It's just literally so screwed up. And and that's why I hated his sentiments about Bill Cosby. I was like, yeah, you can't justify that. He could have put his cross, he could have put across his point in different ways, you know? And
I agree.
Yeah, but like, that was just like definitely crazy.
Not it.
So I like them aesthetically, but but like, just his politics just like gets me like all like annoyed. But Rihanna seems to be in love.
She is. So I don't know. I just like them together. I think I also just want people to be happy, guys. Like, just be with who you want to be. I mean, I'm not going to judge anyone for being with like certain type of people, whatever. No, but I think if the person makes you happy, because if we're being very honest, people don't always share their true feelings and thoughts about certain topics, whether it is Black Lives Matter or anything, any other topic. So people in their homes are actually with people who are probably saying the most horrendous things, but they're still together or still married or whatever the case is. So I don't think people really should be crucifying Rihanna. I'm not saying people should be okay with the stuff that their partners are saying or doing. You definitely have to call out the BS if it needs to be called out. But I don't know. I guess also I didn't know the context behind what ASAP says. So I'm quite behind on that. So it was good to know. But outside of that, I think they really are cute together.
Yeah, that's so cute. I really love that Met Gala look. I didn't like his as much, but I loved her.
Oh, no, I hated his. Oh, man, what was that?
Do you know what?
Like,
I hated it initially, but when I saw the pictures that were taken before she walked the carpet, I was like, okay, that actually did make sense. But is it my favorite for the year? Definitely not my favorite for the year.
Yeah,
so
no.
Definitely not.
I'm not a fashionista, but that was not it for me.
No. Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like the only thing what I liked about it was the explanation. Now that I think of it, I think like when I heard the explanation about, she said that the reason why she wore that Balenciaga look was because the, you know, like it was an interpretation of Black people in the US and how they are discriminated against, particularly like when they wear a hoodie. And that's why it was like the oversized and black and hoodie. And that's why she's wearing like, you know, the beanie and like that whole like glam stuff. And I was like, oh, I get it. But I was like,
so what was Man's like popcorn thing for?
Oh, I don't even know. I don't even know. I was just, it just looked, you know,
that was not
looked
it.
Like a Mike Keep.
My Keep, I can wait. No, that was not it. I'm
like,
sorry.
I didn't get it at all. I was just like, okay. It was crazy. But, and then the other couple that I want to speak about, you friends, I think we've been going through this for the last 3 weeks. Shein Dodet Dubai.
Oh my God. You know, I thought you were going to talk about another couple. Yes, those ones were Koshi and Okbakosha. Okay, was ones and Ingoma, Ngosem. Oh, Ngosem, no, guys. A whole song with Sotril.
Yes, like, oh, and Sotril's heart, but. Listen, Sotril can thrill me any day.
Is that boy not young? Oh my gosh.
He is young.
How old is he? I think he was like born in 98 or something.
Oh wow. Okay,
I think so.
I'll
double check. Yeah. I mean, he's was friends with my brother. So I think he's around that age. Yeah, Dubai. We still don't actually know the details of that issue. We still don't know.
That's my thing. You know what? Like, Kanye is savage. Like, for me, I just actually think, like, from the outside looking in, and you know, you should know better than to judge people's relationship, but I'm a judge anyways, because they put it all out there. So, honestly, like, if people don't want you to comment on their relationship, they shouldn't put it out there, because then now it's all our public interest. So, like, my thing is that, first of all, okay, cool, like, they went to Dubai and whatever. But, like, the guy, I actually feel like both of them are so wrong on so many levels. So, the guy, first of all, like, lives Kanye at the salon and whatever. And then he starts, like, reporting this whole thing when she doesn't come back, right? And then he goes onto social media. For me, I'm thinking, okay, like, if you actually know she is not dead or in danger, why are you telling the rest of the world? Like, it's just like,
I think you know, he went onto a live and he explained, like, I can't believe I actually, the way Ntandi Ndabanga Khona Nkosiyam, I actually, while I was cooking, I took my phone, and because he went on live and I was cooking, and I took my phone and put it there by the kettle so that I can move around and chop and whatever. And he actually probably was on there for like 30 minutes plus explaining how the day went and the events prior to the day of the salon. And you know, I think he panicked because he's like, because he says that Dubai is such an alive, it's so alive, even in the evening.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't have like curfew hours or whatever. So it's alive, apparently. It's buzzing, even late in the evening. And so she assumed that, no, his girl's just, you know, in the streets and she'll be back home. And he's like texting her, telling her how he's cooking. He even cut himself while cooking for her. And he can't wait for her to come home and eat. How? Jiggy jiggy, trying to get a hold of the girl. Jiggy jiggy, go to the salon. She's not there. Jiggy jiggy, her phone is all can't be contacted. Jiggy jiggy, now he's running straight to social media. And I don't know. I feel like he knew that something was up and there was that guilt inside. That was now, you know, pushing him to do that. And I think for me, what was also very concerning initially was when he was telling, I think it was a Popcorn Room or some other gossip page, that the reason why he's making sure that he's creating timestamps is because his family, if something happened to Kanye, they mustn't think it's his fault, because obviously they know that she's with him. And that was a little bit concerning for me. I was like, oh my gosh, I hope Kanye's okay. I wonder what happened. But it seemed, according to what they happened, he had not kept his side of the bargain around making sure that their time in Dubai is their time. Apparently he was always on his phone, always busy with calls, not giving Kanye the attention that she needed, not listening to her needs, and, you know, adhering to what they had agreed upon as a couple when they went to Dubai. They even registered a business together, and Kanye came up with a name, and she, you know. So I think there was a buildup of a lot of things where Kanye was just like, fuck Nieman, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
You know?
And good for her.
And good for her. I also think so. Hey, that was savage.
That was savage. Like, I was just like, wow, you literally left, like, you're going to this alone and, like, literally came. And to leave, also, like, you know, it must have been something, definitely, like, that was so dissatisfying or, like, big about that whole thing. Because for you to actually leave with nothing, like, it's just like, you must be that hurtful.
No, something definitely happened. And you know, she actually was at the salon because it seemed she had FaceTimed her brother in the afternoon. Uh-huh. They were actually, one of them posted about it. So she was definitely at the salon, that I can guarantee. Yeah. But it's that moment, you know, where she just left. And the question is, did she really just decide on the day that she's going to leave? Or she had already bought the ticket and was just like, I'm going to play dumb because I know that he's going to try and stop me. I'm going to play dumb. And she bought it like days or weeks before. Yeah. And she was just like, I'm going to play dumb. I'm just leave. Ooh,
Now that you say it, like, you know, when she came back and Lesizo was like posting like stories on Instagram, and he said something to the effect of like, you've got the best sibling. But whatever you were saying was implying that he actually got the ticket. It's like, so maybe it was that call in the salon that they actually like decided, like, you know what, I'm going to come. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to come get your ticket and come back. But you know what I thought wasn't cool of the guy? Yeah. What I thought wasn't cool for the guy was like to post stuff around the fact that he pays for the house, the daughter's fees, her financial statements. Like, that was crazy.
I was just like, no. So typical. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so typical. So unnecessary. And he's now throwing his weight around. I was just like, boy, bye.
Yeah, goodbye. Exactly.
I think men love that control element, or I think he just loved having that control element over her.
And he forgot that Kanye Bauer has got 25 lives. Bruh, no matter what happens, he bounces back.
And his mama warned him. His mama done warned him. He ain't listen.
Exactly.
His mama done warned him. He ain't listen. So it's his fault. Boo hoo.
Exactly.
I don't feel bad for him. Sorry.
But but that whole thing was just like crazy for me.
Yeah, it was sad. Anyways,
yeah, it was sad. Like, it was sad and crazy.
I'll empathize.
But good for Kanye for making some guap out of it. I hope this Chin Dodo Dubai song is going to sell. And,
I know that Twitter doesn't like it, but, Twitter doesn't actually reflect what happens there on the ground. So I think the song will pop, probably.
Exactly. But even if Twitter doesn't like it, if, like, the song gets used a lot, like, if it becomes, like, a TikTok trend, like, then a lot of people will be exposed to it. A lot of people will stream it, even if they don't like it, just to listen to it or play it at parties. Then that way it was just going to generate income one way or the other. So,
exactly. It is what it is.
And then, I wasn't going to touch on the next story because I don't know how I feel about it. Also, I was just like, oh, am I going to get blocked? Is Rosette back with her ex?
You know, it looks like it. A friend of mine actually shared the stories and whatever. I was like, okay, what's actually going on here? I've always seen people talk about this couple, but I've never really understood what on earth is going on. But from the, there was a post apparently there as well with the tattoos where they have like matching tattoos.
Yes.
And Miguel was apparently there by the in-laws, I think, something like that for a funeral or something. Yeah. And they were in a private jet. And I was like, ooh, girl, what is, can you maybe break it down for those of us who don't know who Rosette is and who her husband is? Or, what are these people's story actually?
So, guys, so Rosette Mwana is Rosette? I think it's Rosette, actually. Excuse my French. Rosette Mwana is bona fide supermodel. Listen, that girl's like, she's one of the models who actually work all the time. Anyone can say anything about Rosette works. Like, she's always booked for something. And it's quite interesting how Rosette is actually like, she still looks the same age as she's looked in the last 10 years.
Looking at her Instagram. She's stunning.
Yeah, she is stunning. She's such a gorgeous girl. Like, really, she's probably, like, I think would be one of the most booked local models. Like, you'll see Rosette anyway, anything. And, like, she works. So, Rosette is the model who had the big wedding in Cape Town, with the mountain backdrops. That made everyone want to get married in Cape Town. Rosette started that trend. And her man is a businessman, Ulunga Ngwane. That's all like that I know about him. I don't think he's like a social media person, and neither have I been trying to get to stalk him or whatever. But yeah, but all like the reason why we know about him was because of the big wedding, and because like he's married to like, a model and a famous popular figure. And of course, their divorce that set the tongues wagging because he had a side chick that he left Rosette for, who also was at the indoors, by the way. Yes, that's why a lot of people were talking about it, because a lot of people were confused. They're like, okay, because I think initially when she posted, people were like, oh, okay, I think in our culture, no matter if you're divorced to someone, if you have kids, you're still family. If there's a big umsebenzi, like
you know, at the in-laws or at your place,
yeah,
you would
true.
normally, you know, go there. You might not be like doing the most as you would, as you know, Makoti, but then you would like go and show your respect and celebrate if it's a celebration, etc. And but then where I think like when she posted first, people didn't pay mind to it. But when she posted that picture with a tattoo, then people were like, huh.
So who's okay. this other lady that was also there?
She's called Retabile, I think, yes. And yeah, so she's currently like, so she's basically the girl who was having an affair with the hubby when they broke up. So it seems. And now that they're back together, I'm like, I don't know if it's now like Umnakwethu or
oh, what damn. Is happening.
Because I'm just like, okay, you know, like there is definitely something up. And like, it's been setting tongues alight on social media. Because if you see a lot of people have been like commenting and talking about it. And I was just like, okay, cool. It's like quite, you know, and she hasn't, like what I like about her is that she actually hasn't acknowledged anything, which is good. Like, you know, live your best life, make your own decisions. If it's your
true.
Man, if you want to get boo, guess the father if your baby's back, like do that. You know, especially like I suppose, you know, like we can judge all we want, but like when you have kids with someone, it's like a whole different ball that you know you play with the exes. But I'm just curious as to are they to like are they all like now is it now a polygamous thing? Because
I wonder.
Like it is like it's a bit strange, and someone highlighted the fact that you know, like the tattoo picture. Uguti, he's got like the R,
uh-huh.
the letter R, and then she's got the L and the heart. And then people are like, the R, but it can stand for Rosette or Retabile.
One oh, of them. Actually, oh my god, okay, that is like, so embarrassing. Oh no. Hey Mara. Hey man, will embarrass you guys. See why I wasn't feeling sorry for the Dubai situation. Because I'm just like, guys, if men had the opportunity, they're gonna grab with both hands and they're gonna embarrass you. So you know what? They need to get what they give. They need to be able to get what they give. To be honest.
But you know, like I was just like, good for her. If a girl's happy, then we's happy. What's that saying that people say? It's like, if it's good for you, then I'm happy. Because like, you know.
Yeah, look, if it's good for you, girl, I'm just, you know what? As long as she's happy, I'm just at a place where I'm just like, guys, as long as you're happy, hey? Because life is short, mm-hmm. babe. Life is short. You know? So, yeah, man.
Me.
Oh my gosh. But I'm just like, good on you, girl. Do you, boo. And if it works for you, it works. But yeah, no. I would not want to be a part of that clownery, but also I don't know, right? It could be.
Exactly.
I don't know what things are like if you're on the other side. So
yeah,
so get like your man, girl.
And I also suppose if I'm getting on a jet, boo boo, I might change a lot of things.
I mean, hello.
My mind might change a lot.
I mean, this is not an Uber. This is not a Polo, honey. This is a jet, a private jet. Okay. So, look, I'd probably also want to cry and, you know, go have him go in a private jet as well. So,
exactly.
You, girl. And she's pretty. So, do you. But yeah, where does Andile Ngcube fit in? Because I just scouted and found an Instagram page that also involves of the kids that involves Andile Ngcube. So where does he fit into this whole picture?
So Andile Ngcube is the father of her first child.
I get it. Okay.
And then, like, you know what I like about those two? They actually have such a really cool co-parenting relationship. It's almost like how who are the co-parents that have like good relationships? Like I suppose it would be like Will Smith and the ex-wife. Like they're actually like buddies.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Which is so good. Like I feel like that a lot of people should do that. I feel like it would make your children 10 times better.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Yeah. I definitely agree. Definitely. Okay.
And you know, like I heard someone on Twitter saying like she used to date, like after her divorce, she dated an Oppenheimer. I was like, Rosette, basically attracts money. It's like, you know, she's just magnet to money. Live your best life, girl.
Oh, honey. I also say live your best life.
Leave your best.
I agree.
Get all the diamonds.
I agree. I agree.
Exactly. Wow. Like, you know what I like about everything here? Every girl and the couple, the couples that we're talking about, they're living their best lives. J-Lo is collecting rocks, collecting those engagement rings. She's got 5 now. And if Ben proposes again, she's going to have a 6th one. I'm like,
I mean,
you know what?
Girl.
Get your stars. Get your rocks, girl.
I agree. Get your rocks, girl. I, guys, I won't even judge. Like, do you, boo? If that makes you happy, do you? Life is short, boo.
Yeah. And Rihanna is out here being a billionaire, living her best life, having savage Fenty and being savage. I'm like, girl, like, do it. Live your best life. If you want to date a man and not release music and just, like, do your thing, listen, we don't deserve you, Rihanna. Just do your thing.
We don't, honey.
We don't, honey. And Kanye West was out here making her music and making, you know, turning lemons
breaking into hearts.
Yeah. And Rosette is like living her best life. So, you know what? The moral of the story for tea time today is that live your best life.
Or live your best.
The philosopher.
Yeah. Or as the philosopher. Yeah. She ain't even to Puma Ngatu saloon or whatever. That one, just do that.
Oh no, Puma Ngatu ya buya.
Oh yes, Puma Ngatu ya buya. Hey Mara, sometimes oh gosh, sheesh. There was clearly a lot of tea, and it's unfortunate that we didn't have enough time to go through everything that we want to talk about, because there's been so much that has just happened around us in the last year, or in the last few months and the last few weeks. It never ends. But thank you to Life for that tea. It was good. But yeah, man, I think that was the first installment of season 3 of the Office podcast. And I mean, yeah, man, I loved it. Lai, thank you so much. I think we've got a lot more coming, you know, a lot more in store. We got some cool topics lined up for you guys. We got some awesome guests, lined up for you guys as well, and some cool surprises that we're going to be, you know, dropping throughout the season. And yeah, so you'd have to actually listen to every episode to figure out exactly what's coming up, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. You need to listen and figure out like what's gonna come up. A lot of cool surprises are in store. And remember to tweet us or DM us your questions, your discussion topics that you want us to touch on. Or if you've got someone that you really want us to chat to, let us know. And our handle is at Office Podcast SA on Instagram and Twitter, and also on Facebook. So make sure that you are tweeting us, DMing us, or tagging us on cool content. Let us know what you think, what you want to see, what you want to hear. And remember to listen to our podcast on Spotify and also Apple Podcasts and other podcast platforms out there, and make sure that you rate us and comment, please, and send a review.
Yes, please. So I think it's been awesome. Thank you so much, Lai. It's been awesome catching up. Lelo, we miss you. Yeah, guys, please do follow us. We're going to put out a poll on there as well. Let us know what you think. And we actually want to share some of your thoughts and your views on the show on the next episode. So send us your comments and your messages, and we're actually going to read them out.